Willkommen zum IT-Podcast and Sneakers zur digitalen Transformation. Möchtest du einen Blick hinter die Kulissen der Digitalisierung in Unternehmen werfen? Bist du neugierig, wie sich digitale Transformation im Alltag anfühlt? Dann ist unser IT-Podcast der Schweizer Firma Swiss Capricorn genau das Richtige für dich. Dein Gastgeber ist Jakob Barandun, Geschäftsführer von Swiss Capricorn. Aber Vorsicht! Das Ganze ist ohne Make-up und Krawatte. Wir geben dir ungefilterte Einblicke und Tipps aus dem Alltag mit und in IT-Projekten. Also, schnapp dir deine Sneakers und sei gespannt auf die neue Episode des IT-Podcasts in Sneakers zur digitalen Transformation.
I'm especially pleased to introduce to you today's guest. He is the co-founder of the biggest risk conference in Switzerland. Stéphane Martin is an institution in the risk management field with over 21 years of international experience in multinational organizations such as ArcelorMittal, where he was head risk management of Europe and Middle East, and Syngenta, where he covered several head risk management positions between 2019 and 2015. In addition, he is a certified trainer for ISO as well as risk management trainer for the famous business school INSEAD. Stéphane is also the founder of the Swiss Risk Management Forum, SRFM, and with his company Smart Risk Consulting, he supports multinational companies addressing challenges in risk management, security, resilience, and insurance. Stéphane is also a sought-after speaker at international conferences where he speaks about risk management, security, and governance. Stéphane, welcome to today's talk.
Thank you very much, Jacob.
Stéphane, to begin the interview, I always like to ask my guest also a personal question. So I would like to ask you, what career did you want to pursue when you were a little kid, a little boy?
Oh, man, I thought you would start with an easy question. I'm not sure I remember what I wanted to become when I was a kid. What I know now is that I always try to solve anybody's challenges and improve the way things are being done. I'm not the kind of person good at small talk and internal company politics. So I'm turned towards, you know, creating value for a person or an organization, basically.
And you moved in your career from sales to risk management. That's a quite unusual move. So maybe you can tell me a little bit more about that. How did that happen?
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, after my studies, I went through 8 years of sales and marketing, starting with selling copy machines in, you know, industrial parks around Paris, France. And I have to admit, I hated this selling period as we had, you know, you have to lie to sell a copy machine. Nobody wants to buy a copy machine. but also I had to recognize that I learned quite a bit in selling and building my self-confidence in that field. So, I mean, I moved to risk management thanks to the father of my best friend at the time, who was looking for a salesman to embed risk management in an international organization. Although I knew nothing about the topic, their first intent was to have someone, you know, opening closed doors and giving a selling speech about risk management. So here I was at Arcelor in 2003, before the merger with Mittal, in charge of implementing a process in all company functions, a process I was discovering in the field. I knew nothing about it.
Wow, what a journey. So let's talk about risk management and dive into the topic. How do you think did risk management change over the years in organizations?
Yes, that's a very good question. I think that people change perspective in risk management over the years, but I'm not sure that the topic itself has evolved quite a bit. If I reflect on my personal journey, I went from, you know, implementing the very traditional way, basically risk reporting, which was more a shareholder request than a real will to manage company risk, to a risk management for value creation. That's what I'm doing now. With the years, you become savvy and people begin to listen to you. you realize it is much more important to solve your boss or company issue than to be right in your niche field. So you stop using expert wording and you start offering or participating in business solutions instead.
So creating value with risk management, that is the key here.
Yes, and on the other hand, for the ones that have been using standards such as ISO 31000, we have to admit that these processes, these process documents are evolving in the right direction with the integration of the strategic view on risks.
Stefan, I would like to know, what do you think are the biggest risks in companies, say multinational companies, but also medium-sized, small companies? Is there anything that stands out?
Yeah, of course, we all want to know that one. And I believe that the biggest risk is the one you turn away from. I've heard so many times in my career, you know, while conducting interviews or risk assessment workshops, oh, sorry, man, but there are no risks here. You know, I know my job. And I would say this is the first red flag for me. Being, you know, overconfident and hiding your head in the sand has never helped managing risks. So one thing to remember, things do not stop at a particular process in organization. A risk scenario could go for, you know, from R&D, impacting your production and your overall supply chain, and then impacting legal, finance, and the overall company strategy. So for me, oversimplifying risk is a danger. And nurturing the silo-based approach is completely wrong. This is why the motto of risk in conference went from, you know, breaking silos to building bridges instead. So breaking things is negative. Building bridges is positive.
So building bridges and overconfidence is sometimes not so good, as we know also in life, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, risk management activities are reflecting how we behave also with our community and network and our own jobs.
Can you eliminate risk completely? Is that possible?
Well, this is something you surely do not want to do. I mean, I explained myself. Eliminating a risk has several implications. I mean, the first one, no risk, no business. So you may enter in a status quo situation, and this is not where you want to be as an organization, even in the health and safety and security. No risks means no evolution. The other aspect is that most of the time, it would be extremely expensive to overcome all causes and all consequences of a risk. What you need to aim for is a risks-based approach company strategy. This is too rarely done. Risks are looked at once the strategy has been signed off, and unfortunately, this is too late. It should be completely integrated from the start.
So a risk-based approach and a holistic approach is important. And also getting involved the decision makers of all the different departments. Is that also something to consider?
Yes, absolutely. When you begin to look at a particular risk, whatever it is, you begin to understand there are implications with other processes. So you may have the head of IT discussing with the head of HR and the head of legal. And these guys together will find the right way to address that particular risk, to prepare if something should happen. And if it does happen, then you have some plans. We know plans can change. But it's better to have a plan and adapt it than to have nothing prepared.
So something like a contingency plan would be good, already prepared before the thing happens that nobody wants.
Yes. I mean, unfortunately, on the market, we've noticed that some organizations are separating, you know, risk management from continuity management. But business continuity management is the natural flow when you begin to analyze risks and assess risks. If you want to be prepared for anything, then you prepare your continuity plans. So you shouldn't create new silos between risk management and business continuity. They should be completely integrated.
Mm-hmm. And how far should the CEO then also get involved in that? Is that like something that the CEO directly should be involved in or is involved?
It's a very good question. I mean, ultimately, the CEO is the risk owner of the organization. At the same time, I mean, I like that definition that you can find in the ISO. A risk owner, so, is the one who is able to, one, take a decision on the risk. He has the authority to manage risk. Secondly, he has the competence to understand what risk we talk about. And third, he has the cash to invest if needed to, you know, reduce the risk, mitigate the risk. And that needs very often some funding. So if somebody in an organization has these three aspects, so the authority, the competence, and the cash to manage risk, then he becomes a risk owner and he can manage the risk on behalf of the CEO of the organization.
So authority, competence, and cash, that is important. I would like to know, Stefan, you know, I remember these incidences in the past, like, for example, Neue Zürcher Zeitung, they had the cyber security attack. Then you had the subprime crisis, you know, UBS was pretty much affected, Credit Suisse now, I mean, they had a risk management issue. So is there a way this could have been alleviated? Or, I mean, what is your stake on that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I mean, I strongly believe that any organization has to master its basics. And for me, it is about having a very strong risk assessment capability. That is the most important for me. I'm not talking about a process, but a real competence at all levels on how to identify correctly and assess a risk. It is essential to understand what is the risk you're talking to me about, how this risk can happen, basically the reasons why, and also if that risk would happen, what would be the consequences for your organization? I mean, this competence should exist in all operational field management and oversight level. Risk management in the way it is described by, you know, regulators, authorities, and other international organizations is quite young, which means that CEOs today have not been through these processes and competencies themselves. It is usually something that is delegated, and we forget that the ultimate risk takers are the CEOs.
So the CEO is the ultimate risk taker. Now, I would like to dig more into the conference, this successful RiskIn conference that you founded and that you run. What was the motivation behind founding this risk conference? Why did you set it up? Maybe you can talk about the history of this conference a little bit.
Yes, that's an interesting one. You know, I've been in quite a few conferences in the past, and they're usually, you know, very well organized. But at the same time, the speakers do not share much insights, or at least they do not give, you know, pragmatic ways on how to do your work. So I've always missed this when I was an active risk manager for large organizations. So in the end, I mean, to help the community I built in Switzerland, I decided to create a conference myself. The aim in 2018, when we did the first edition, was to have speakers ready to open their books in risk management, cyber compliance, overall security and resilience. And now, I mean, 6 years later, these topics are still relevant, and we offer additional deep insights in ESG, insurance, and captives. One thing which is very important for me, when you come to RiskIn, you want to go back to your office on the Monday and say, I know what I want to do today, thanks to what I heard at RiskIn. So it has to be pragmatic and it has to be completely open discussions.
How do you see the future of these topics? Like, for example, everybody talks about cybersecurity now. How relevant will this be in the future? What is your stake on that?
It's funny because when we started in 2018, we did quite a focus on cyber, and we have an advisory panel. And after 2 years, some people on the advisory panel told us, well, you know, we've been through cyber already 2 years. Now we have to change. And I explained my view, saying that cyber will never go away. So cyber is not going away. We've seen that. We need to still focus on it. It is an evolving topic. And we've added, I mean, ESG. ESG will not go away because ESG is talking about sustainable organization and saving the planet. Saving us, because the planet will still be there, but we might not sustain that. So these new topics will stay. I don't think we have any topics which are not relevant to an organization or not relevant to a decision maker at RiskIn.
What were the challenges, Stefan, at the beginning setting up such a big, successful conference? Maybe you can elaborate on that one a little bit.
Yeah, well, diving into the world of conferences without knowing nothing about it was interesting. We created an event that looked like us. I mean, us meaning my associate and myself. We wanted to have the most professional networking event in a relaxed atmosphere. But I mean, the biggest challenge is to find the appropriate funding for an event. You need to have money. You can always try to call a hotel and ask for their space for free. It doesn't work at all. It's like going to your bakery store and asking for a free baguette. I mean, nobody works for free. So funding is important.
So funding, having enough cash to for the financing. And as a leader of conferences, of organizations, I would like to know, what are your experiences in hiring the right, or how to hire the right people? Maybe you can give us some insight in your experiences.
Yes, thanks, Jacob. I did head various teams, and I needed to delegate some tasks, you know, on a day-to-day basis. The best people for me are the ones that you can connect with, in the sense of, you know, understanding and challenging my needs, which is the first point for me. So open-minded people. The second point for me is about competency. I mean, risk management is not complex. It does require common sense and experience. I mean, this means that I needed people with a pragmatic approach to company needs.
And in terms of cultural fit, I mean, did you have a methodology of how to test if the person fits into the culture? So it's like, as you mentioned, the competent, it's not so complex. So basically anybody can learn that, but does the personality fit into the company or in the culture? How what was your experience there?
I mean, today in international companies, global companies, you have a mix of many, many cultures. So it's at the same time understanding if that person can fit in. And I would say fit in the company culture. And the company culture is more about, I mean, you know, ways of working and probably respect in some ways. The people that I've worked with, and I haven't always, you know, hired the right people, but I realize now that you really want to focus on, at least in the risk management field, on people that are, you know, open-minded, that are ready to evolve also with an organization. And you have to be really careful who you want to hire. Do you want to hire a technician, or do you want to hire a team manager? This has completely different needs. If you want to hire a technician and then have him become the team leader, then you need to train that person probably. I think most of the errors I have seen in some teams is that you have some great technicians or great experts, and then you ask that guy to lead a team. Maybe he has absolutely no possibility, he has no will to manage a team. Or maybe he has the will to manage him, but he has no competency. So the biggest errors is usually naming somebody, giving a promotion to someone without training that person, without coaching that person. I think I've seen many, many errors like that in organizations.
So there's always also room for improvement and also potential to coach the people so they can smoothly transition into this leadership position.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And I think we have to do that before these people are promoted, not once it's done, because that's too late.
Stéphane Martin, thank you so much for this talk. I really enjoyed that. And I wish you all the success with your company and your conference. And I will definitely drop by next year or the next event. Looking forward to that.
Thank you very much, Jacob. It's been an absolute pleasure to have that chat with you, and hope to see you very soon.